Good morning. A heartfelt thank you to everyone for their patience last Sunday as it took some time to upload the audio service. And another big thank you to all those who kindly sent us encouraging words as well as helpful feedback about the service. In light of the responses, Mary Lou will sing another old favorite. Today, it will be What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Our worship this morning has been stitched together by Mark Kosher, and we thank Mark Dunn for putting the service on the webpage, including the order of service. And we also thank Holly Boyne and Alex Fensham for lending their voices. If you'd like, please respond with the bolded phrases in the responses and sing along to the songs and hymns that are found in the order of service. As we prepare our hearts for worship, I invite you to take a slow, deep breath through your nose, and then, even more slowly, exhale through your mouth. Breathe in the breath of life, and imagine exhaling out all your troubles and worries. Entrust all that is weighing heavily upon you to our God's unending mercies, and let us prepare our hearts for worship. A responsive call to worship. When we weep, Jesus weeps with us. When we suffer, Jesus suffers with us. When we despair, Jesus is the one who holds us up. Worthy of hope is our Lord. This is why we come to worship. So let us praise our God together, and let us sing, How Great is Our God.
Splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Don't you see how great is our God? From age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. Worthy of all praise.
Our Lenten liturgy also serves as our opening prayer this morning. God set the prophet down in a valley of dry bones,
asking, can these bones live?
Commanding, hear the word of the Lord,
promising, I will put my spirit in you,
you shall live. Jesus wept at the tomb of his friend,
hearing the grief,
Lord, if you had been here,
knowing the doubt,
could not he,
commanding life out of death,
Lazarus,
come out.
We are tempted by hopelessness and despair,
in our own pain and at the world's brokenness,
saying,
our bones are dried up,
our hope is lost. Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Let us pray.
Creator God,
we wait for you,
and in your word we hope.
For with you is steadfast love,
and great power to redeem.
Help us to trust you,
and to share your resurrection life
with all people
and the whole creation.
So may all be raised from despair to hope,
from darkness to light,
from death to life,
through Jesus Christ,
who is the resurrection
and the life.
Amen.
Friends, let us remember the promise Apostle Paul declares. What will separate us from the love of Christ? Hardship, distress, peril, or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through the God who loves us. Neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So let us rejoice that no matter what is happening around us, no matter what we have done, God's deep love will never let us go. And so, may the peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you.
Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Hi, it's Holly and Alex, and we are here to do our scripture reading today. Our responsive psalm is Psalm 130, verses 1 to 7 from the Message translation. Help God, the bottom has fallen out of my life. Master, hear my cry for help.
Listen hard. Open your ears. Listen to my cries for mercy.
If you, God, kept records on wrongdoings, who would stand a chance?
As it turns out, forgiveness is your habit, and that's why you're worshipped.
I pray to God, my life a prayer, and wait for what he'll say and do. My life's on the line before God, my Lord, waiting and watching till morning, waiting and watching till morning. O Israel, wait and watch for God.
With God's arrival comes love.
With God's arrival comes generous redemption. May God help our understanding.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Your mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Great is your faithfulness. You, Lord, are my portion, says my soul.
Our scripture lesson is from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 17 to 44, reading from the New Revised Standard Version. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upwards and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
But Jesus loves the sinner. Who but Jesus calls him friend, reaches out to touch the leper, bids the weary come to him. Who but Jesus loves the lonely, those the world has cast aside, with such scandalous compassion a wretch his chosen bride. Who but Jesus dwelt among us, called this broken world his home, took on flesh and pain and sorrow, reaping what he did not sow. With the lost he shared salvation, with the thief he shared a cross, all that we might share his riches. Who but Christ would give it all? Who but Jesus? Who but Jesus? But Jesus too pure for man to merit, grace too glorious to deny. Praise him now, my joy in living, yes, in death my comfort rests. Who but Jesus loves this sinner? He alone is my righteousness. Who but Jesus? Who but Jesus? Who but Jesus?
Our message this morning is entitled, New Life Despite Death. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, and through the mystery and power of your Holy Spirit that moves beyond the limitations of physical time and space, gather us together, your body, the church, and open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to your true words of life, that we would truly have new life in Christ. Amen. It was the summer after grade 6 that I lost my maternal grandmother. Even now, I tear up thinking about her. Distance, unfortunately, made visiting difficult. She lived in South Korea while we lived in Canada. Nevertheless, I knew my grandma, my 할머니. I knew that my 할머니 loved me because of her actions. On my first visit to Korea, I was only maybe 5 years old, and she discovered that I loved a particular noodle dish. So she took me, just me, to a little restaurant so that I could enjoy it. When she came to Canada, maybe a year later, she bought me a beautiful dress with little flowers on the bodice, and a skirt that filled with air when I twirled in it. Yes, there was a time when I loved to wear dresses. And one of my last memories of her last visit to us in Canada is of her sewing for me a fun little pink skirt and a vest outfit that I wore for picture day that year. I fondly remember her sitting on the dining room floor with thread in her mouth, a needle in her fingers, and my pink skirt in her lap. I think it was the spring after I turned 12, though, when my brother and I were told that 할머니 had cancer. Mum, therefore, was going to South Korea to spend time with her mother. Since only Mum was going, Mum had us record things on the now antiquated audio cassette. In hindsight, I'm grateful to my mum for giving me an opportunity to say goodbye to my 할머니, because I really loved her. This is why I don't understand Jesus in our story today. Jesus really loved Lazarus. We know this. So then, why did Jesus wait 2 whole days before leaving once he found out that Lazarus was sick? The message he had received was unambiguous from Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters. The message was this: Master, the one you love so very much is sick. For most of us, we'd probably try to get as much in order as quickly as possible in order to leave as soon as possible to visit the loved one who is ill. Some of us would be able to get ready calmly, and some of us would be in an absolute dither. Jesus is neither. Instead, after he gets the message, he tells his disciples, "The sickness is not fatal. It will become an occasion to show God's glory by glorifying God's Son." So, I have an issue with 2 things here. First, I don't know how you define fatal, but the Greek word here is thanatos, death. In the 2 days that Jesus waits, Lazarus actually dies. In fact, there's no doubt that Lazarus has physically died because Martha will comment on the stench coming from the tomb when Jesus finally does arrive. It is the stench of a decaying corpse. Lazarus being raised from the dead is no illusion or sleight of hand magic trick. There will be a real miracle. But between Lazarus' death and Jesus' cry, "Lazarus, come out!" there will be a lot of weeping and a lot of wailing. Most of us may not be accustomed to loud wails or people who do not try to suppress their sobs at funerals, but Jesus lived in a different time and space, and so he is surrounded by tears and wails after Mary admonishes him for not being present as her brother lay dying. Her neighbors, not to be outdone, join Mary with their own cries of mourning. To make sure we know just how upset the sisters are, John records for us both sisters admonishing Jesus for not being present as Lazarus lay dying. It is into this terrible grief and sorrow that I address my second issue, the second thing. The first was death, and the second is this: an occasion to show God's glory by glorifying God's Son. Lazarus' death will happen for God's glory, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. And I wrestled with that phrase for several days this week. It seems that God allowed Martha and Mary to experience unbearable suffering. They suffer emotionally because they've lost a brother. They suffer spiritually because their rabbi has disappointed them terribly, for they know their brother would not have died if Jesus had been present. And they suffer mentally because their protector, their source of financial security, the male in their household, is now gone. Does the end justify the means? Must the sisters suffer greatly for God's glory? Must the sisters experience terrible loss so that Jesus can be glorified? I am troubled by their loss. Their loss of a beloved, their loss of hope in Jesus who failed to appear when they needed him the most, their loss of economic stability. I am also troubled by the nearly 1 million Canadians who have applied for EI this past week. I am troubled by news reports of young and old dying alone because loved ones are not allowed near them. I am troubled for doctors and nurses who have to tell their patients who are intubated in order to breathe through the ventilator, that they may not recover and that this might be the last moment they're awake. It is a conversation that takes place in isolation, so the doctor or nurse is the very last person the patients see in person. I am troubled because it is hard to see where God is working in this pandemic, as an ice rink has been converted into a morgue and military vehicles and soldiers have been deployed to move coffins in Europe. It is hard to see God working when priests have to recite the last rites over the phone to weeping loved ones as they stand only meters away from dying loved ones who cannot be touched. It is hard to see the light of Jesus when hospitals in New York City are being described as a war zone. Jesus seems to be waiting. What are you waiting for, Lord? So, I've heard some news. Perhaps you have too. The canal waters of Venice are clearer. There is less air pollution and ducks are now swimming in the fountains in Rome. I've heard some news. Perhaps you have too. People are gathering at set times to watch movies together on the walls of apartment buildings and to clap to thank the healthcare workers who risk their lives every day. I've heard some news. Perhaps you have too. There are businesses donating food to healthcare workers and the homeless, while there are other businesses changing their products to fight the pandemic by making alcohol-based hand sanitizers instead of beer, and protective face masks instead of hockey helmets. I've heard some news. Perhaps you have too. People are donating their time free of charge to do things like sanitize public areas like benches where people rest. Children are writing messages of encouragement on their windows, on the sidewalks, and the risers of porch stairs. Church members are reaching out to chat, to pick up groceries, to see how they can help. I've heard some news. Perhaps you have too. Jesus weeps when we weep. Just as he wept outside Lazarus' tomb, before he commands Lazarus to come out, and for the crowd to unbind Lazarus and to let him go. Sometimes we are surrounded by death and we don't even know it. Sometimes we are surrounded by death and we're too tired or apathetic or complacent to do anything about it. And perhaps this is why Jesus responds to Mary's loud sobs with anger. For you see, God did not create a world in which we were to die originally. When God first created and said, "Let there be light," God said it was good. The earth that God created for you and me is to be a world where God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. But in our human frailty, in leaning upon our own strength and limited human vision and wisdom, we have created convenience and comfort without real care and concern for how that convenience and comfort impacts the welfare of other human beings or the delicate balance of nature. We have created death and have willingly decided to live in its decaying stench because it is easier, less demanding, less challenging. But this is not how God created us to live. This is not abundant life in Jesus. New life in Jesus looks very different from the world that is collapsing around us, a world that has built an economy based on the fallacy of infinite growth and planned obsolescence, a world in which what we use has a limited lifespan so that we're forced to buy another thing and throw the old away. We keep turning our farmland into houses without thinking about how long and hard farmers had to work in order to make the soil rich with nutrients so that food would grow. We assume that we will always have food to get from other places. Jesus weeps when he sees us living in death, just as he wept when he saw where the dead body of Lazarus had been laid. But hear the good news. Hear Jesus cry, "Come out, come out, come out of death, be unbound, let go." For there is no dark place that is beyond God's presence. There is no situation beyond Jesus' grace. It is okay to feel hopeless at times because it is in our weakness that God reveals God's strength. It is when we are humble and open to the words of life that God gives us the courage to do what is right and good. Oh, that we would know and live in the new life that Jesus gives, for there is so much God wants us to experience here and now. There is so much for us to receive and share. There is so much love. There really is. Although I cannot say that I fully understand why Lazarus had to die and why his sisters had to grieve, today's story is about so much more than temporary suffering. Today's story is about how Jesus uses a situation that everyone sees as hopeless to reveal that God sent him to save the world. The good news is that you and I are saved in this life and the next. And so one day I will see my Hymenee again. This is part of the wonderful promise of new life in Christ. But until that day, will I live a life free of the bindings of death? And how will you live? Will new life in Christ be reflected in how you live? For Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go." Amen. Our prayers of thanksgiving, intercession, and the Lord's Prayer. Please note that during the prayers of intercession, there will be pauses for silent prayer. Let us pray. O God, we thank you that in Christ, the death of our earthly bodies is not the end. We thank you that through Jesus, we live fully in this world and then will rise again because you, O God, are glorious. May we remember that you call each of us by name and unite us in Christ's body. As we now take a moment to be still and sit in gratitude for your goodness. God of majesty and mercy, give us love. Love enough to make a difference in your world, and trust enough to follow even when the way before us is full of challenges. God of peace and promise, in Christ you call us to love our enemies and to be peacemakers in the world you love. We pray today for people and places divided by ancient bitterness and current hostility. We remember especially tensions in the Middle East, the strife between tribes in Africa, and persecutions in Asia. God of the bruised and broken. We are grateful that in Christ you have taken up the cross and know by heart the very things that bring us suffering and pain. We pray today for all those in need of healing and comfort, and especially for those deeply impacted by this COVID-19 pandemic. Hear now our silent prayers. God of the lonely and sorrowing, in Christ you faced the loss we know when loved ones die, or when friends let us down. We remember before you those who grieve the loss of their beloved, and those who face a lonely future. Hear now our silent prayers. God of hope and new possibility, in Christ you opened the way into the future for us through the power of your redeeming love. Give us the courage we need to face our future, assured of your presence and power to sustain us. We offer all that we are and all that we hope for through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together as his people. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Let me go. I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. O light that followest all my
Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord be kind and gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.